This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Red Bread.
So Red Bread is a bakery in Sacramento, California that makes delicious, healthy, often sourdough-infused products and ships them nationwide. And they sent us their signature cracked cookie, which was a delicious cookie.
Can I say that it was voted the best cookie in Los Angeles?
It was voted the best cookie.
Amazing Matthew. Wow. Amazing Matthew.
Yes.
You're amazing.
I was voted the most amazing cookie in Los Angeles. It was definitely the most amazing cookie in my house when it arrived. It's really, you know, it looks like a healthy cookie. It's got oats. It's got chunks of Cho brand chocolate.
Wheat flour.
But it does not taste like anything that would be described as a healthy cookie. It tastes like a delicious cookie.
No, this was really delicious. And Matthew and I both say this as people who regularly have homemade cookies in our houses.
And also regularly have junk food cookies.
That's true.
So, you know, it appealed to us as junk food lovers, as real food lovers. It crosses the spectrum.
It appeals to us as lovers. Not of each other. Of other people.
So you can get, you know, you can get a sampler box from Red Bread with some of their sourdough breads as well as the cracked cookie. They ship nationwide. Shipping is free for orders over $120. So go to eatredbread.com and use the promo code MILK to get 15% off your first order. Red Bread, crack into some cookies. Not a real slogan, but Red Bread, you can have it. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are in the middle of eating some croque monsieur, because it's our cheese sandwich episode, which
ham
is different.
And cheese.
Oh, that part of my agenda was covered up.
This is pretty good.
It's a cheese sandwich. And I was about to say to you, wait, how's this episode different from our grilled cheese episode? And you would think I had nothing to do with choosing the theme, ham and cheese. God, I'm...
No, this theme was suggested by spouse Lori and listener Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. This is tasty.
I don't think they were working in concert. I went to their concert. They have like a acoustic folk duo. They sang the song
it's
about...
It's like the new Indigo Girls.
Uh-huh. I'm the ham and you're the cheese. Mm-hmm. And we were inspired. We Molly and I both went to the concert.
Galileo's head was on the block.
Yep. I went to the fountain and stuff.
The crime was looking up the truth.
Yep. What's that song called?
Galileo!
You know the one Indigo Girls song that everybody knows?
No, there's also Closer to Fine.
Those are different songs.
It's true.
My world has just been rocked.
I know. Oh, how is that for really kicking it back?
Oh, that's as far back as I'm willing to kick it at this time.
Oh.
Anyway, so we went to that concert that didn't exist, and we were inspired to do a show about ham and cheese sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And we're eating this croque monsieur, which we're not going to talk about yet, because if it gets cold, I was warned that it would congeal and get weird. It's already a little weird.
It's already a little weird. You know, okay, so let's talk about, before we go down memory lane, let's talk a little bit about what this is. So a croque monsieur is white bread, cut the crust off, gruyere and ham, and then there's also bechamel, which is a white sauce made from butter, flour, and milk.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always had weird feelings about bechamel.
It's an odd sauce.
It's a really strange thing. And, like, I kind of don't like to think about the fact that it's in this sandwich that I'm enjoying.
It feels like a thing that has almost but not quite been left in the past.
It's just hanging on by its nails.
You know, should we take a stand right here and say, like, it's time to let go of the rope and let bechamel fall to its death?
You know, I'm not quite ready to say that because, so, we've never done a souffle episode, but...
Are we going to do a souffle episode?
But one of the first...
I feel like physically unwell just thinking about the idea of doing a souffle episode.
And oh, really?
Just try to, like, time it, like, you know, we're supposed to be talking, but the souffle is falling.
Oh, and I'll
do it. It's
going to
be like a Lucy episode.
It will be. I'll do it. So when I was... like first living on my own in my early/mid-20s.
Listening to a ton of Indigo Girls.
My parents had two copies of the cookbook, How to Cook or The Way to Cook. Now I can't remember the name
of it. Julia Child.
By Julia Child. Mm-hmm. And I was a vegetarian at the time. And I taught myself how to make a cheese souffle from that book. And that was the first time I ever made bechamel.
Okay.
Super easy. Making souffle, real easy. Roll easy. And anyway, I would be happy to do it. But so I'm not willing to cut the rope or step on the knuckles of bechamel and let it slide down the cliff because it's a really good souffle recipe.
Okay, yeah. I'll buy that. Which Indigo Girls album were you listening to when you made the souffle? Were you also cooking?
I think I had already stopped listening to Indigo Girls at that point.
Indigo
Girls was like... So I had this weird confluence of musical tastes in high school. Mm-hmm. There was like a real Nine Inch Nails downward spiral thing going on. And I saw them live with Marilyn Manson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Trent Reznor. So hot.
It was really weird when they added Indigo Girls to that tour, but somehow it worked.
No, but around the same time. No, maybe. Okay. Hold on. I think I went.
It's important we get this exactly right. I'm writing out a timeline that we're going to post at SpilledMilkPodcast.com.
I think I went very like. Alternative Nation, Headbangers Ball, 120 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, the further I got into high school, it was, like, all Fugazi or, like, all, like, you know, like, Nine Inch Nails kind of stuff. Verging onto, like, The Prodigy. Do you remember The Prodigy?
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, but my freshman year, I was friends with a couple of girls who... Oh, and we hung out in, like, coffee shops that had open mic poetry reading situations.
The Prodigy had that hit song with the name that I'm not going to say.
Yeah. Anyway, wait, Firestarter?
No. Wait, am I confused? No, I'm pretty sure it started with Smack.
About,
Was that the Prodigy?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know if the song was called that, though.
Oh, I think it was.
It was? Anyway, that was an album I was really into for a while.
Sure.
But anyway, I had these two friends, and we would go to this coffee shop called Medina's in the Paseo neighborhood of Oklahoma City, and I was writing a lot of poetry then, and I would read my poetry at the open mic nights. But anyway, I was also listening to... Matthew is losing it. I was listening to a lot of Fugazi and Discord Records stuff around then, but I also had like a space in my heart for Indigo Girls because I was like 15 and writing a lot of poetry and feeling things, feeling all the feelings.
Can we hear a selection?
I'm still feeling all the feelings.
Yeah, you've got all the feels.
I have all the feels.
Could we turn over the rest of this episode to just some selections from Molly's 15-year-old poetry?
You know, Matthew, you've read a whole bunch of it, my friend.
And I'm not allowed to say anything about it.
A whole bunch of it. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of pining for these guys who were seniors when I was a freshman. And they had a band that was called... Did I tell you about the band name?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. I had the biggest crush on this guy.
You literally had a so-called life.
I literally did. And this guy was every bit as handsome as Jared Leto. His name was Casey Moon. And it was K-C. The initials, KC Moon. And anyway, there was also another guy named Zach Brown, who is only the only redheaded person I've ever been attracted to. Being a redhead myself, I feel like I'm allowed to say this.
Okay.
I'm usually more into like brown hair / black hair. Anyway, just going to put that out there. Anyway.
In case any listeners are.
Listeners, call me. Anyway, so yeah, these two guys, they had a band with a third guy. And the band was called...
Wait, what was the third guy's name?
His name was John Sturm.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time thinking about these guys.
Oh, please tell me the band was called Sturm and Drang.
The band was even better. It was called Violet N. Like, violent, but they took the N out. put it at the end.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Anyway, these guys were like 18 when I was 15, and they had no idea I existed, and I wrote a lot of poetry about them.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
You know, I've actually like Googled them recently because they would now be like 41, 42 years old.
Sure.
And I find that just fascinating. And
I find it fascinating that I'm that old.
I know, weird. Anyway, but I've never been able to find them on the Google.
Yeah. Isn't that weird when you Google someone and you can't find them?
There is a band called the Zac Brown Band. That's a different guy.
Okay, thanks.
Not my Zac Brown.
I and everyone else are going to run out and Google this and see what these guys are up to.
Yeah. Anyway, that was what... But at the same time, I was listening to Indigo Girls and writing a lot of poetry and hanging out in a coffee shop and discovering mochas. I was drinking a lot mochas of mochas.
Mochas are the best. Were you cooking for Moosewood?
I'm pretty sure I was because I was vegetarian around that time. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Violet N, call us.
Any of you guys are listening?
Yeah, we don't usually have guests, but
any of you know any of these people? Like, awesome.
Oh, this just turned into America's Most Wanted / I Saw You. Missed Connections.
Missed Connections. Yeah. God, I used to love to read Missed Connections.
Sure. Yeah, that was, wow. That was the most interesting jaunt down memory lane I can remember for quite a while. It had nothing to do with ham and cheese whatsoever, and I think that's why I loved it.
With ham and cheese. Thanks for not reciting any of my poetry on air, Matthew.
Yeah, I definitely remember all of it, though.
Yeah.
So, did you eat ham and cheese sandwiches ever as a child?
Uh-uh.
Me neither. My brothers did. My brothers I remember at school lunch, they often got hot ham and cheese. I think I didn't like ham when I was a kid.
Mm.
So if you're playing that drinking game where when I say I didn't like something normal as a kid.
Drink. I didn't like ham and cheese. I think I didn't like cheese very much as a kid, unless it was like melted and grilled cheese or mac and cheese, pizza, all those places where cheese is melted.
Yes, wherever cheese is melted, we'll be there.
Anyway, so I'm just really stuck on my jaunt down memory lane.
No, I would love to hear more about that. I honestly don't care that much about ham and cheese.
I've actually been thinking about it a lot lately because one of these girls, like, I don't know what really happened to her.
Wait, what girls?
Oh, the I know you're expecting like all this juicy stuff to come out of my past.
No, I'm just...
Oh, the two girls that I would hang out at the coffee shop with.
Got it. What were their names?
Leslie and Evelie.
Okay. Evelie. Wow.
Evelie. Isn't that kind of an amazing name?
Yeah.
Evelie Horner.
Okay.
If anybody out there knows Evelie Horner, I was friends with her when I was 15. Anyway, and Leslie. We've been friends since we were babies. We're still in touch.
Oh, that's great.
Our dads were buddies.
Does she know where to find Violet Ann?
I don't know if she does. She's still in Oklahoma, and I'm kind of not friends with anyone I went to high school with anymore. And Leslie still is. So maybe Leslie, if you're listening.
Doesn't the Violet N sound like the name of a dude ranch? Is it possible they left the music industry but opened a dude ranch?
It's quite possible.
You could go like spend a weekend on their ranch like in City Slickers, which is everything I know about dude ranches.
I would like to hope that they're doing really cool stuff. Like maybe one of them is like, I don't know, like working for a nonprofit, like changing the world right now. Like I hope that that's what's going on, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I would really hope they're doing something boring like that.
Me too. You know, I was so boring as a teenager, Matthew.
No, you recited poetry at open mics.
I stayed up late writing poems and fantasizing about people who never knew I existed. And I mean, I guess that's what you're supposed to do when you're 15.
I don't think most teenagers ever recited anything at an open mic.
Okay. All right. I feel pretty good about myself.
I think you're essentially the equivalent of Eminem.
I think I was too. You should have seen the giant men's pants I was wearing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned already on this show that recently I was watching Empire and I got totally obsessed with the idea that I might find myself embroiled in a rap battle and I should prepare for this?
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah, I've probably mentioned it 6 times now.
I think that have you worked out what you're going to throw
no,
down?
But I was recently texting with friend of the show, Becky Selinget, and I tried dropping some rap lyrics, and I was really happy with the first line I came up with, and then I came up had nothing to follow it, and I've retired.
I have a feeling Becky's a good rapper.
Yeah, I think she's probably a great rapper, and I think we should get her on the show to rap.
I think we should, too.
Okay.
I think we should, too.
Becky,
okay.
If you're listening.
Becky, if you're listening.
First of all, what kind of ham do you
like? Come rap with us. Hey, do you know?
That would be a wonderful name for a podcast. Come rap with us.
Becky, do you know any of the guys from Violet
N? From Violet N, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know any of them? Hey, did you ever hear me read poetry at an open mic night?
I have a question. Yeah. Did we ever finish describing what a croque monsieur is?
Oh, no. No. But anyway, I did.
That was 13 minutes ago.
I did stick up for bechamel, though.
Exactly.
Bechamel. So why does this ham and cheese need a creamy white sauce in it?
Well, and I think I was supposed to use even more of the white sauce. I didn't put any, like, inside.
Is it just supposed to be like a glue?
I think it's supposed to be like a glue. I don't really understand what the bechamel is doing. I guess I'm agreeing with you.
I mean,
fancy that.
I think if we didn't have it in here, we would miss it.
Yeah, I think so too. It would be kind of dry and one-dimensional. But let's talk about the awesomeness that is Gruyere cheese.
Except when you first put this down in front of me, I was kind of like, ooh, that smell is really off-putting to me. There's something sometimes about Gruyere and Fontina that just make me want to run in the other direction when they're melted.
They've definitely got like a barnyardy funk that comes off them.
Like
Mark Ronson told us about. Yes, we talked about your funk before.
I am funky.
But I feel like Gruyere is one of the only things that's described as nutty that it actually tastes kind of nutty.
Mm-hmm.
And they also always on the package of the Gruyere say it's like aged in genuine natural caves.
I mean, I am often described as nutty and I don't really taste nutty.
Well, I'm definitely going to withhold judgment on that. But have you ever wanted to go into the cheese caves? You see, I'm like running from that as fast as I can.
You're even blushing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did actually have the experience, not of going into any Gruyere cheese caves, but I did have the experience of going into this amazing cheese cave underneath this famous cheese shop in Bordeaux.
Can I say?
This man's name was Jean Dalos. And he was so nice.
He was the cheese master.
We had to go down these like really steep steps, like down into his cheese dungeon.
To his lair.
To his lair. And it was so great. I have such fond memories of that.
Can I say I mean this with no sarcasm whatsoever? You had an amazing life.
You must be joking.
No!
I feel like I've had the most boring life ever.
You recited poetry at a cool coffee house and went into a cheese cave.
I win!
I haven't done any of these things.
You know, Matthew,
what am I doing with my life?
I'll go recite poetry here in Seattle with you somewhere.
Okay. I've done stand-up comedy. Does that count as something?
Does it count? I mean, can I say I've done stand-up comedy doing our live shows? Or is it more like... No. Okay.
No, and I say this because I've had this conversation with like stand-up friends.
So what about, do we like, do? What? Are we doing like improv? Do you and I? Are
it's
we
not
kind
even
of...
really improv either.
What
it's
are we
like,
doing?
What are we doing with our lives? I don't even know what to call it. It's like sit-down comedy.
Sit-down comedy. Okay, so let's talk.
Can we do a show live from a cheese cave?
We both established the acoustics would be amazing.
Oh wow!
Woo!
That natural reverb and like you can hear the.
It is cold down there, though.
You can hear the wild yeasts and bacteria.
You can
in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is cold. Like bring your cardigan. This episode is brought to you by Third Love. Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra might be the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
Yep. Matthew doesn't really know from experience, but I can tell you, I got two of these bras.
Uh-huh.
I've got two of them. One is in this kind of raspberry color called Vivacious.
I know, because you texted me a photo of it.
No, just of the strap. Let's be clear.
Okay.
Let's be clear. Anyway, so Third Love is this website. You go to it. You order a bra. They have this incredible deal they're offering our listeners.
The deal is you get it for 30 days. You get to wear it. You get to wash it. You get to cut the tags off it. You'll pay $1 for shipping. And if you don't like it, send it back and they'll charge you nothing.
But I bet you're going to like it. I mean, here's the deal. It's got these like really pretty pleated straps. It's kind of a demi bra style, if you know what I mean. So it's got a really pretty cup shape. Is that a thing, a pretty cup shape?
I think that I can say from experience is a thing.
It's a thing. And it's got this really pretty pleated strap that stays in place. Matthew, I don't know if you've ever suffered from any of the common bra ailments like cup spillage, cup gaping, or slipping straps. But I have. And this bra gives me none of those ailments.
I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah, I also love, so I have to tell the listener that Third Love supplies us with like some things that they think we might want to say in the ad. And what I really love is that this week, they're really emphasizing the fact that this is a super smoothing bra. So ladies, if you've ever had the problem that I've had, we're like,
this is a real thing. This is not a bit you're doing.
You're just standing at attention all the time. This bra will smooth you.
I see. So it's like
this bra will smooth you.
Nipple de-emphasizing.
It is. Okay. It is. So you get a comfortable bra. It looks great. It looks hot, dare I say.
And I'm never deleting that picture you sent me.
Super smoothing. I know. How'd you like my collarbone there, Matthew?
Oh, wow.
That was pretty much all you saw. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a figure enhancing, and that includes collarbone enhancing type of thing.
Anyway, so again, this is the Third Love 24/7 t-shirt bra. It's a pretty darn great bra, and you know, you've got nothing to lose. Order one, wear it for 30 days, you can cut the tags off, do whatever you do in your bra.
Absolutely.
And if you don't like it, send it back after 30 days, and you have lost nothing.
So go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started.
So we've established that on memory lane, neither of us really ate ham and cheese as kids.
I don't know why I didn't.
I think I was kind of a peanut butter and jelly person. And then when I went into lunch meats, it was, as we have already discussed, bologna.
You went into lunch meats.
When I went into lunch meats. And then it was Carl Buttig roast turkey.
Right. As discussed on, I think, the lunch meat episode and possibly also in... That was words with two B's, not words with two D's.
Mrs. Gubbison.
Mrs. Gubbison.
Oh, come here, Mrs. Gubbison.
Yeah, I think for me it was that ham and cheese sandwiches like were in a category with, like other cold sandwiches that I really hated that might have mayonnaise on them.
Yeah.
That was probably my biggest phobia as a kid was mayonnaise. Of all the things that
of
I've said.
All the things.
Killer bees, mayonnaise, girls. Those were the big three.
Yeah.
They all sting in their own
way. You tackled the girl phobia quicker than I tackled the guy phobia.
Well, I want to be clear any kind of sex phobia. That I have not and ever and do not tackle girls.
You just gently throw them down.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So it says here. Okay. So I did a little bit of croque monsieur research, and I guess are we even going to talk about other types of ham and cheese sandwiches? Maybe we'll get there.
Who knows? I mean, ham and cheese, whatever. It's usually with cheddar, right?
Or Swiss ham and Swiss is a big thing.
Swiss. Okay. Wow, we're experts on ham and cheese sandwiches.
I feel like I don't come across like not that I couldn't seek it out like actual Swiss cheese with holes as much as I'd like, maybe.
Yeah, that never really happens. I think that, like...
But I think for some people it does.
You think?
I think so. It's out there. People are eating it.
There's, like, Emmentaler.
Yeah, does that have eyes?
It does, I think.
I think so.
Does Jarlsberg ever have eyes?
I think maybe it does. This is called...
Do potatoes have eyes?
Yes. This is the cheese speculator. Next week, we're going into a cheese cave, and that episode will be called The Cheese Spelunker. Apparently...
The earliest mention.
Go ahead. Steal my fact.
No, go ahead. No. I'm just trying to get you to hurry up and get to the point.
The earliest mention of a croque monsieur in literature appears to be in Volume 2 of Proust's In Search of Lost Time, 1918.
Have you read any Proust?
I think I once, have you ever done this thing where you're like, I'm going to be cultured and I'm going to start by, you know, enjoying this difficult to appreciate piece of art. And I was like, I am going to get Volume 1 of this new translation of In Search of Lost Time. I gave up after probably 4 pages.
I have gone through that period twice in my life. Once was not too long ago when I'm in a book club. And we, I think, all together decided we were going to be more cultured, and we decided to read Madame Bovary by Gustave Flaubert. Anyway, and I got through it, actually. It's
good for you.
Like, I don't often finish books that we read in book club. I got through it because, by God, I was determined to be cultured. The other time was when I was, like, 16, and I bought Henry Miller's Sexus.
What was the last thing you said?
Sexus. It's one of his books. There's Sexus, Nexus, and...
Oh, I didn't know that. I think now he's Tropic of Cancer, right?
Yes. But isn't it like the series? Isn't it like the Tropic of Cancer or the Tropic of Capricorn or something?
Yes.
One of them is made up of the books Sexus and Nexus and something else.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I think so. Anyway, I tried to read it, and I just was not...
You were not moved in any of any places you were hoping to be.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't ready, and I've never gone back to it.
I don't know. I think a lot of that, like, old erotic stuff it does not really speak to modern appetites.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this.
I don't know. Like, I distinctly remember, I mean, I'm 37 years old now. I read this one. I started it when I was 16. And I remember.
You're still working on it.
I remember the line from it that made me close the book.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I don't know if I should say it. It's so, it's more than dirty. It's revolting to me. He said something about, like, that he shot off into her like a whale. It just made me be like, oh my God, no.
Like,
no.
Like a whale, like the blowhole.
Yes!
Like,
and I just did not want that mental image. And I've had it, I've been carrying it around, Matthew, for 21 years.
Do you feel like a great sense of catharsis now that you've let it out?
I don't know if we can actually air this part of the episode.
Of course we can.
I don't know what it was about that. Like,
we got the explicit tag and everything.
I mean, I don't know what it was about that. It felt like a violation to me as a 16-year-old. It was more than I could stomach, and more than I can stomach now, really. I think there's also this image of violence in it that was really,
sure,
really unsettling to me.
That's the thing. Like, I think if you go back to, Philip Roth and that kind of stuff, like, I don't know why I'm picking on Philip Roth, which I've never read either.
I've never read any Philip Roth. I was like, wow, you're so cultured, Matthew.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I think it's a lot of like, you know, either like being or wishing you were a manly man.
Yeah.
Is a big part of it.
I've never wished I were a manly man.
I have not either.
No. I don't need to shoot off into anybody like a whale.
Like a sperm whale. Sorry.
Oh, God.
That's probably what he meant, right?
Every time I say it, I just want to kill myself. It's just so, like, revolting on, like, a physical level to me.
Uh-huh. Well, but it's also, like, goofy.
It's really goofy.
But probably not in context.
Ugh.
All right. So, is there anything else about ham and cheese?
Yeah. So I recently went skiing. And
oh, right. It says Molly's recent ham and cheese experience.
Yeah. I was recently out in the Mettow Valley for the first time.
Is that how you say that?
I just learned how to say it.
I never knew.
Mettow is what I'm told.
You know what I still don't know how to pronounce, and maybe you do, is Pendoreille.
Well,
it's like one of these.
I
know how I would say it if it was French.
It would be like Pendoreille.
But I think it's like Pendoreille or Pendoreille.
It's like
Coeur
d'Alene. Like, what is it? Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's
yes.
Basically pronounced, like, it's spelled Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm. But Americans would not say that.
No, we say Coeur d'Alene.
Okay.
And I don't know how to pronounce Pendoreille either.
Okay. I'm sorry, I interrupted your ham and cheese story.
Cinderella. Do. Anyway. Yeah. So I went to the Mettow Valley. I went cross-country skiing.
I went to the mountain. I went to the fountain. If I knew the lyrics to that song, that might have been funny.
Anyway, afterwards we went to the Mazama or Mazama. Again, don't know how to pronounce that. The Mazama store, which is a great little market in the Mettow Valley, and I bought a ham and cheese sandwich, and it was so delicious. You know, like, so whenever you're exerting yourself, so I went downhill skiing last weekend and then had the best fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich of my life uh-huh. afterwards. That ham and cheese that I had after cross-country skiing was similarly, like, it was better than mm-hmm. this fancy ham and cheese you made,
sure.
Even though it was, like, cold, like, out of a refrigerator case. Like, ham and cheese, man. It is like, it's like food for the soul.
Okay, I have a couple of observations.
Yeah.
Doesn't Mazama sound like what your grandmother, like a slang term for breasts that your grandmother would use?
It's like gazungas.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Although my grandmother called them headlights.
Nice.
Oy, such headlights.
I think we've talked about this on the show before, but
we have.
Never too many times.
Dora Flansman Weisenberg, rest in peace.
Nice. I forgot what I was going to say. I got distracted by headlights.
Whatever.
Deer in the headlights phenomenon.
Come in, Tokyo.
I went skiing one time. I don't remember what I ate, but I know the phenomenon you're talking about are like sometimes like if you've been working outdoors like I've ever done that. But, you know, exerting yourself outdoors like on a hot day and then you get like a Coke and it's the greatest thing ever.
Like when you go camping and then the next morning you cook scrambled eggs over the campfire.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, those are the best eggs you'll ever eat.
Or like camp pancakes are great too.
I've never had camp pancakes.
It's always Bisquick and it's the best.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I wonder if like some of these things that I still don't like that I feel are very ordinary foods that I should learn to like egg salad, maybe I should put
eat
myself
them outdoors.
In, well, but first like
exert
some sort
yourself.
Of endurance situation where like I will just be delighted to have anything to eat.
Go cross-country skiing.
I used to go cross-country skiing and
an
I liked
appetite.
It a lot.
Yeah. I also recommend eating Haribo raspberries.
Oh, those things are great with little like tiny crunchy balls.
Tiny nubbles.
Yeah, the tiny
crunchy
nubbles.
You have to take off your gloves all the time to eat them if you're cross-country skiing, but whew.
Could you rig up some sort of helmet with a dispenser like this beer?
I wasn't wearing a helmet. Was I supposed to wear a helmet?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But like a hat. Like,
yeah.
Like a beer hat.
Like, yeah.
But for raspberries.
Yeah. Today's episode of Spilled Milk was brought to you by Third Love. Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra is one of the most comfortable bras I've ever owned. Made out of super soft memory foam that molds to my shape and truly gives me the perfect fit.
So get yours today. Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get a free trial. They'll send you the 24/7 t-shirt bra. You'll pay $1 for shipping. If you don't like it after 30 days, send it back and they'll charge you nothing.
Boom.
All right. Well, clearly that was our ham and cheese episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
You're welcome, spouse Lori and listener Jennifer. I'm sure you got what you bargained for.
Hey, the one thing I forgot to mention, there's a book called Ham on Rye. It's by Charles Bukowski, who also writes some seriously filthy stuff.
Sure.
That is like, for me, it kind of like verges on good filthy, bad filthy all at the same time. Everybody likes a little good filth.
Just a hint of whale.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know if everybody does. I mean, I think everybody would if they allowed themselves to experience it.
I don't
it.
Think everybody would like Charles Bukowski.
No, probably not.
No.
I haven't read it. Uncultured. No opinion on the matter. Mm-hmm. Also not into opera.
What?
It's just another cultured thing.
Oh.
Oh, boy. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we will post tour dates for Violet N and Lori and Jennifer's Indigo Girls-inspired folk duo.
We'll also announce when Matthew and I will be doing our poetry reading at a local open mic situation here in Seattle.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Do they have coffee shops in Seattle?
No. Okay. But we're going to open one just to do this poetry thing.
Next week, we'll have Becky Selengut on dropping some of her rhymes, busting some rhymes. Mm-hmm. Following week, actually, we'll have Busta Rhymes on. It's weird. You can find us on Facebook. Did we already say that? At facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where you can say things like, why didn't they ever mention ham and cheese on the ham and cheese episode? You can tell us how that Indigo Girls song actually goes. I went to the doctor. Does she go to the doctor?
A doctor of philosophy.
Okay.
With a beard down to his knees.
Okay.
He never did marry or see a big, great movie.
What? Galileo never saw
he
a movie?
Said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind, got my paper, and I was free.
Wow, this is verging on copyright violation. except we're analyzing the lyrics from an academic perspective,
I'm
so it's okay.
I'm pretty sure that I totally messed that up.
Yeah, if you try and violate someone's copyright from memory, but you completely fuck it up, is it still illegal? That's a philosophical question for our brightest legal minds.
Great.
We're doing a live show coming up. It's going to be on April 2nd at the Lyric Hyperion Theater in Los Angeles, and tickets are probably available now. You can find that information on our website, spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Smack my bechamel up. That was this episode, right? Or was that the last episode?
It was this episode.
Okay.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Hi.
You're still wearing your apron.
Oh.
It's so cute.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.